Chapter 3. Wormholes of Time and Space. A convoy of black vehicles momentarily stopped in their tracks as spaceship and crew ascended, then continued toward Neo Astropropulsion Laboratories. Ahead of them, four black helicopters prepared to touch down, knowing they would not find what they most sought. Far above, the Neostar shook violently.
"Brighton, can you stabilize that?" shouted Captain Raymond.
"Sorry, Captain," replied Brighton, making adjustments to the control circuitry. "This is the first time, you know."
As Earth shrunk smaller in the ship's monitors, the shaking of the ship subsided, but fears and worries of its crew did not. Electrical engineer Charles Brolin worked the onboard ham radio, attempting to let the world know what had happened before the world was too far away. Later, when it became clear that the Neostar had escaped its enemies, the captain called a meeting at the bridge.
"Thank you all for your quick and excellent work," he said to the assembled crew. "Everything with the ship seems okay, but what has happened to Gouge and Paulson?"
"Paulson left work early today," said Brighton, "and I don't know what happened to Gouge."
"He had a little accident," answered John Cannon, seated near the captain's chair. "Stumbled and banged his head on the ascent ramp. Sherry Heelman's attending to him. Says he'll be unconscious for a few hours."
"Sherry Heelman? Where's Dr. Jake Heelman?"
"He didn't make it. Not really clear what happened. Sherry said he was detained."
Overhearing this in the outside hallway, Sherry decided to wait a little before entering.
"We should be fine," said the relieved captain. "I think we're just lucky to have such a capable backup crew."
Roll call was next, and Sherry quietly took a seat. When everyone was accounted for, the captain nodded toward his chief engineer.
"Jim," he said, "I think it's time."
James Brighton pointed toward a large viewing screen that faced the captain's bridge. It showed what resembled lightning bolts, knotted together like roots of a tree and leading in all directions.
"Any questions?" he asked, noting the puzzled looks of the crew.
"What are those lightning things?" asked Cannon.
"Those are cosmic wormholes, and this is a hyperdimensional space-time map. The astropropulsion hyperdrive, or H-drive as we call it, puts the ship in a bubble of sorts outside normal space-time. This enables us to traverse these hitherto unseen paths that can lead across millions of miles and far into the future or past."
Seeing some startled looks, Brighton paused to let this sink in.
"Many of these paths are beyond our reach," he said. "And most are of no consequence to us, but look at this one. It goes back millions of years. It also appears to be completely stable."
"Like a time tunnel?" asked Cannon.
"Yes, exactly," replied the captain.
"Where do you intend to take us, Captain?"
said Sherry, suddenly feeling guilty about robbing her father of this adventure.
"We haven't made that decision."
"Captain, Dr. Brighton," interrupted Security Officer Braden Koch. Bold and formidable in stature, Koch was also technically skilled and had become valued by the engineering team.
"We're being intercepted by another spacecraft," he shouted, "and the speed of their approach is beyond anything I've ever seen."
"How long do we have?" asked Captain Raymond.
10 minutes, 15 at most," answered Koch, studying the monitor display.
"And what is your recommendation?"
"I expect their intent is to seize or destroy our ship, in which case I believe neither we nor the Neostar will ever be heard of again."
"I agree, Captain," said Cannon.
"I also," added Brighton.
"That is also my assessment," said the captain. "And to the rest of you," he now spoke louder, "I apologize. Many of you have been ignorant of all the potential dangers of your work, though you were strongly advised that your very lives could be lost. So, seeing no other option, I now advise that we flee into the wormhole. By show of hands, do I have your support?"
All hands rose.
Jim, you know what to do, said the captain to his chief engineer, already working to engage the H-drive.
Captain Raymond, asked Sherry nervously, I have a question.
Yes, Heelman, go on.
Please, I'm not my dad. Just call me Sherry.
Go ahead, Sherry.
This wormhole or tunnel thing, can we come back again once we're through it? And will it bring us back to our present time?
In theory, yes.
Seeing the worry on Sherry's face, the captain added,
Jim, would you concur with that?
After we've gone through, replied Dr. Brighton, we'll have a better answer to your question.
Sherry's worried look remained. The captain returned to the navigation monitor screen.
Jim, he said, that craft is quickly gaining. How long before you engage the H-drive?
The controls aren't working. I'm doing what I can.
Captain Raymond, said Braden Koch.
Sorry, Braden, we're very busy.
Dr. Brighton, tried Koch again.
Can't you see we're busy? Please wait, answered Brighton.
The override,
shouted the exasperated Koch.
You wired it to prevent accidental activation of the H-drive.
Brighton remembered. He shouted for tools, then ran and pulled the cover from the control panel. Minutes later, a low-pitched throb reverberated through the ship, followed by a sudden lurch. Blindingly brilliant light shone through observation ports, cover shields slid into place, and the well-designed machine flew into the void.
Not bad for the first time, said Brighton, who only now noticed the perspiration on his forehead and pounding in his chest.
Not so bad at all, agreed the captain.
Even Koch wasn't terrible, added Brighton, while loading the flight path into the navigational control computer. The Neostar voyaged the infinite, and the H-drive pulsed and droned, an audible heartbeat throughout the ship. 3 days passed. It was evening, and Dr. Brighton was busy at the navigation computer. Startled by footsteps, he turned about. The captain was gazing over his shoulder at the display monitor.
You said we'd be through this wormhole in 2 days, Brighton.
That was an estimate.
Well, it's been 3 days. The crew's uneasy.
Want me to show you the math? Here, work it out yourself.
The captain looked over the equations on Brighton's notepad.
Everything depends on these factors, said Brighton.
You just plug in the numbers and it says 2 days?
Not exactly. Some of these factors, pointed Brighton with his pen, are very well known, but others can only be estimated. I used our best data to calculate our time in hyperspace.
Brighton looked up to see that Cannon, Koch, and Sherry had entered the room.
Assuming the absolute worst case, how long will it take us to get through this thing? Asked the captain.
Absolute worst?
The most absolute worst possible case imaginable. See what the equations say. We need to be prepared.
The others nodded.
But, Captain, the worst case is most extremely unlikely.
I still want to know. Plug in the numbers,
but
just do as I say. We have a right to know.
Very well, said Brighton, entering the data.
All were silent, waiting on the computer.
About 30 years,
he said when the simulation was complete.
30 years, exclaimed John Cannon. You let us into a 30-year-long wormhole? Do we even have supplies for 1 year?
That's a most extreme estimate, said Brighton.
But still possible,
returned Cannon.
Yes, but so we may spend the rest of our lives in hyperspace. Likely that means until food, water, or oxygen runs out. How's that any better than going back to Earth? What do you all think of that?
Captain Raymond was silent, waiting to hear from the others.
Well, in spite of the danger, said Sherry, I confess I've been quite excited. It's been the cruise of a lifetime, a cruise to see the wonders of the universe. But now someone spoils it, saying we may spend 30 years going nowhere or die for lack of supplies. I'd ask for a refund, but the ship has left port and it's too late. Let's remember, though, that 2 days was an honest estimate. No one's ever done this, and we knew it would be dangerous. It's not really a space cruise, more like what Columbus and the old explorers did. I'd say it's time to endure and be brave.
Thank you, Sherry, said Koch. So maybe Brighton's calculations were off by a factor of 10, or 100, even 1,000. Maybe he was wrong altogether, and this will be our death. He still did what none of us could, and we owe him our support. Now, Dr. Brighton, one more question. What's the shortest, best-case scenario? How long would that take?
Brighton had anticipated this and had the answer on his scratch pad. About 90 seconds, he replied.
So, said the captain, you're reasonably certain the length of this voyage lies between 90 seconds and 30 years?
I am, sir.
I'm impressed, Jim.
It's like a bell curve, the one your teacher was supposed to grade you on.
Look at this, said Brighton, pointing to his laptop screen. The captain studied the graph.
Suppose we were to narrow the probabilities to the difference between, say, an A- and a D. What would that give us?
An A- would mean we had exited the wormhole 2 days ago. A D means another 3 days.
So where are you getting this 30 years and 90 seconds?
You requested the most absolute worst possible case, didn't you?
But where did you get those numbers?
Sometimes meteors strike the Earth. Anyone you know of been hit? Maybe I should calculate the odds.
No need, said the captain.
2 days later, the captain awoke from his sleep. Something was very quiet. It took a moment to realize that the H-drive was no longer pulsing. Hurrying to the bridge, he found Jim Brighton at the control console.
We exited the wormhole an hour ago, Captain, said Brighton, and I suggest we take a close look at that object over there, he added, pointing toward the front view port.
Captain Raymond took his seat, and at his request, Brighton steered the ship in the indicated direction. An hour passed, and more of the crew entered. All stood before the viewport.
What's that? Asked Cannon, staring at the cloudy whirl below.
Can't say,
answered the captain. Under the clouds was blue of ocean and land of rust-colored hue.
I'm pretty sure it's not the Earth, said Koch.
The gravitational field is too small, agreed Brighton. But I do see evidence of vegetation, and there's sufficient oxygen in the atmosphere.
Captain, said Brighton a moment later, judging from our orbital speed, the mass of this planet is an exact match for the planet Mars.
But it doesn't look like Mars, said Cannon.
This would be Mars of the very distant past, explained the captain.
How distant? Asked Cannon.
If I'm reading these chronometers correctly, we've journeyed at least 29,000 centuries into the past. Or in other words,
2.9 million years, finished Koch for him.
I suspect it may be a good deal more than that, based upon what we're seeing, added Brighton.
And I believe that object, pointed the captain, is a Martian moon, and somewhere out there we may see another.
Yes, over there, said Brighton, pointing excitedly to his left.
What about the Earth? Koch asked. I'd be curious to see it millions of years in the past. I mean, would it be covered with volcanoes and dinosaurs? Or maybe it's a molten waste or whatever the Bible says before God put his hand to it, said Roland.
We could go take a look.
What do you say, Captain?
I'm not sure that would be wise, said Dr. Brighton.
Why not?
Because these wormholes are like soap bubbles. They're inherently unstable. Some flicker in and out of existence in seconds. Others may endure thousands or millions of years, but none last forever. The universe demands, at some point, that the tunnel be closed to prevent impossible paradoxes.
You mean like in Back to the Future? Said Cannon.
That's right. The universe won't let you prevent yourself from being born. That doesn't mean it will protect you from being stranded millions of years in the past or future. Anyway, soap bubbles last longer when you don't poke them. Flying into the Earth's ancient past is what I would call poking the bubble. Mars is safer because it is isolated.
So what's next, Captain? Asked Sherry, just entering the captain's bridge.
I suggest we go down to the Martian surface. We can resupply our air and water. Maybe do some exploring and make camp, said Captain Raymond. Any objections?